Good morning, everyone. Today, Pastor is not here. I've decided that I will try to click my own slides today. But I'm hearing a bit of feedback, right? It's okay. Let's see how it goes. Okay. Pastor is not here. He's in Vietnam and Cambodia to do some missions exploration. But the three pastoral workers are still around. So service goes on. Yeah, right. Okay. Let me just pray first, shall we? Father, we thank you that we are here in this place to worship and honor you. We thank you for the children among us too. That God, even as you remind us, come to you as a child. And God, we see our children all desiring to worship you. Father, teach us to want to come to you just as you are our Father. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Suddenly, the children all disappear. All men into the room. Okay. You know why? Because I don't have the Gongli, I don't have the power to handle the children in front, so I say, take them back, and they all went back. Okay, anyways. Right, today I'll be sharing from the parable, one parable and one teaching from God, from Jesus, as in Luke chapter 14. This is when Jesus was talking about being invited to a Sabbath meal. First of all, I think we have to recognize one thing, is that it is pretty common to have Sabbath meals at that time. Yeah, so after synagogue, they will go for their meal and they will invite their friends to come along. Very much like us, after service, we go for service. Okay, so at that time, however, it was a special one in that sense that Jesus had, the Pharisees had wanted to catch Jesus and see whether he would do wrong and criticize him or condemn him when possible. Come, children, come. Sit in front. Thank you very much. These are the very fun children. Yep. Okay, now, Jesus knew that he was going to be tested in the sense, yet he still went for the lunch. All right, he wasn't going to shirk the responsibility because it was his duty in that sense to teach us about the kingdom of God. So Jesus went nevertheless. Well, for some of us, I think it's hard to imagine that we have to eat with someone that we do not know. For example, in the hawker center, when you are seated alone at that place and then suddenly three people came and said, can we sit beside you? Then you're like, oh, then you've got three strangers sitting beside you. And you feel pretty awkward. Yeah, that's one. The other one, of course, is when you are sitting with people that you do not like. Perhaps your classmates that you do not like. Teacher says, the two of you are going to sit together for this project. Then you're like, huh, all right. Or maybe with colleagues that you do not really like, irritating ones, especially. Or the nosy ones, the nosy relatives that we have. Yeah, we don't want to sit with them. Now think about it. You have to eat with them. Oh, one whole meal. Cantonese, we say, putek kwek lok. You got to eat it. It's pretty hard to swallow that particular meal. Yeah. So it is like that. And it was so that it was not a pleasant meal that it was going to be. And yet, Jesus went. Can or not, children? You're okay? Yeah. Now, Jesus went to the table in that sense. He went there and, let me just explain this a little bit, okay? If you take a look, you have they've got three couches over there. In the Jewish days during biblical times, they have a certain way of arrangement of your guests. In this particular arrangement, the host is in the center and the most important guest will be on his left. The second most important will be on his right. The third one will be on the left. And then the fourth one on the right, and so forth. So going to a dinner like this, you're going to know who is the most treasured guest of that meal. One thing good about our Chinese dinner, we sit in the circle, nobody knows. You sit in the circle, nobody knows who's the most important. Everybody goes round and round. Well, over there, it can be a little bit awkward in that sense. You will know that where your standing is. Okay. Oh, yeah, talking about sitting arrangement. Mrs. Nader, right? Once I was at a GB function, Girls Brigade function, and so I thought I was just going to, I was representing 58, yeah, so I thought I was just going to follow the rest and sit according to our company numbers, lah. So I followed quite behind number 58. And just as I was going there, the organizer said, no, Kevin, you don't sit there. There were three blocks, so I was going to the left block. I said, no, you're going to sit in the center block. That's actually a bit sad, lah, because I cannot sit with my friends, mah. But never mind. So sad in the center block, nevertheless. Came in Mrs. Nathan. She was the patron at that time. She was a guest of honor. She was sitting at the center block. She sat from first row. I was in the third row. I was actually pretty close to her, you know, in that sense. Ah, how come I have that honor? Because that year, we were the one of the we were the top 10 givers for GV Fortnite. So I had the honor to sit near the guest of honor. Talking about that, today is the last day to give your Girls Brigade Fortnite. Yeah, Agnes is there. Yes, get it from her. And let's see whether we have the honor to sit again next week or next year at the guest of honor position. Also, okay, sorry, I deviated. Okay. Right, my first point. Coming to the dinner of God is not by merits. So there you were, right? You have the people sitting there, and they were choosing their seats. They were choosing their seats and see whether they were of certain honor. Inevitably, in Singapore, when we are judged a lot by our merits in that sense, when you were younger, it's always about your subject, your results. And then when you're older, it's about your earnings. And then when you're older, still it's your status. We are sometimes judged this way. And sometimes we judge people this way too. Now, can you recall some moments when you were feeling prideful? Not proud moments, I'm talking about, I'm talking about prideful moments. I do have good proud moments. I'm talking about, no, not the good proud moments. We do have good proud moments, okay? Graduation was a good proud moment for me, yeah? And getting my awards were good proud moments for me. And then, of course, being a mother was one of the best things that happened to me. So these are good proud moments. I'm not talking about good proud moments. I'm talking about prideful moments. Do we have prideful moments? If you can't remember that you have, that means you are proud. Okay. Okay. It's like, for example, those times when you feel that I am good and others are not so good. That I am right and others are not so correct. When I was younger, I used to tell myself, I'm not always right, but I'm never wrong. Proud like anything, only. Yeah. And so, for example, you have got a younger sibling who always somehow destroys your favorite toy. And then you say, Daddy, can you buy me the Lego? My titi mimi, buy the Le Ping, never mind. The bluff one is okay. I deserve the better. I have been to organizations that are like that. We are the better one. We are two groups, no? Parallel groups. And then we say, we are the better one. We know how to use the equipment better. Give us the better mic. This one, you use the lao pok one, never mind. It is a sense of, I am better. And it's quite subtle, but it's real. What about this one? That you say that, we are having a mic and you are sharing between two people, singing the song at the same time. And then you find yourself, instead of holding your mic in the center, you find yourself tilting it towards yourself because you think you are the better singer and should be heard by more people. This one, never mind. Okay. And then suddenly, occasionally, you must remember to turn back. But most of the time, it's here. Moments like this. Or maybe when your friend or your colleague is sharing something about his project, and then you suddenly turn on selective listening mode. Only hear the good things. What is good, I decide. What you're saying is not so good. And you choose not to listen to what people say. Do we have sometimes when we are so prideful in these moments? I remember when I first came back in 2023, I'm supposed to do the family life ministry. What best way to go to parents, but through the children, right? So I asked Agnes whether I could do the Sunday school. She generously gave it to me. I went up to the cupboards upstairs, and I looked at all the things inside. And there I saw some things that were multiple copies, and some things were updated. So in my heart, I was thinking, ayo, this kind of things. I went down and I said, how come you got so many multiple copies of these things? She says, you never know when you need it, you know. Keep them. In my heart, you know what I said? Hoarder. Okay. So, and then I was like, but she says cannot throw, so I didn't throw. And I'm glad I didn't throw. Because during these 2 years that I've been back, I had times when I had to use those things. I owe my colleague an apology. Yeah, sorry, okay. Okay, I've come to this point where we are going to have a little bit of a quiz. Oh, okay. Everyone can do. Okay, everyone can do together. I need, however, these are the rules. Do not shout out the answer. Instead, show your answer A, B, C, or D by using your fingers. Children, show me how to do A. All right, okay. According to Janelle, A is like that. Everybody, show me an A. Wonderful. Okay. Okay, show me a B. bee become like a heart shape. Well, okay, everybody, just one hand and the bee at the your circle at the bottom, lower. Yeah. That one I already. Okay, bee. Well, what your bee all trying to do the, all trying to do the, yeah, the capital. No, just a small letter B, small letter B. Small letter B. Okay. Oh, Jude is saying like that. Okay, but I never get it. C. C is easiest. C is easiest, right? C is easiest. Okay. D. D, then we do the capital one. Right? Do the capital D, yeah? Just now was small B, right? Just now capital D, okay? All right. Hands down. Get ready. Okay? I show the question. I say 3, 2, 1, and then you show your answer, all right? Don't have to rush. Don't shout the answer. And the first question. In the Bible, an animal spoke. Which animal is that? 3, 2, 1, answer. Ding, 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 ding. All right, the answer is B. All right, a donkey spoke. Yay. Okay, then, no prize. Prizes come later, okay? Second question. Gideon defeated a big army, a large army, with how many soldiers? 3,000, and the answer goes 3, 2, 1, answer. We have got D, we have got C, we have got C. Yeah, the pastor preached about this recently. The answer is C, 300. Yeah. Okay, one more question, yeah? One more question. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were praying in a room and something appeared on their heads. What was that? Tongues of fire, water for? Gold dust, not bad, gold dust. Okay, hello. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Oh, I like Joe's A. Oh, I like, that is nice. A, everyone, A. Okay. The reward is a reception, upside later refreshments. Okay. From our quiz, what do we see? From our quiz, we see that God can make an animal speak. What therefore makes us think that it is how we speak that's going to reap rewards? A lot of times we are tasked to have to present something, to have to teach someone something, to say something to someone. And we say, I have to be the one to have all the right words. Sometimes, as very, very often, we say, can you pray in public? And you find that, no, I don't have the right words to pray. But when your child talks to your father, does it matter that the child is not using all the proper vocabulary? The father will still say, fine, child, speak. And just as we are, when God asks us to do something with our mouths, to say something, does it matter that we must have the right words? So often we have heard many times that people have gone to services and then from beginning to end, they didn't hear a single word that was spoken. It was the songs, the music, the spirit that convicted them. They cry buckets and then they say, I believe in Jesus. What did the preacher say that moved you? Huh? Preacher talk? Don't know leh. But it was the Holy Spirit that moves. Many times when I have to give my presentations and when I remember, I always say, God, help me. And it is the time when it may not be the best thing that I've presented before, especially, and God does help. What makes us think that it is your mouth if God can make a donkey speak? What makes us think that it is our strategies and our numbers that are going to win us our battles? God is the better strategist in any sense. And numbers is not his problem. 300 people can defeat 135,000 soldiers because when God moves for us, he wins all the time. If God is for us, who can be against us? And it's something we want to remember as well. Or those days, that day on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended on the disciples and still remain with us today, the Holy Spirit is with us to strengthen us, to teach us, to guide us. We recognize that it is not our accomplishments, our abilities, or our status. It is ultimately our attitude towards God. And God is looking for humble people whom he can exalt. You see, a Christian is not someone who says, God, I've done it all. Look at me, I've obeyed you. In fact, very often I find that Christians, we liken our Christian life to a checklist. Come to church, check. Read through the Bible from cover to cover, check. Pray daily, check. Tithe monthly, check. Baptism, check. Confirmation, check. Serve in ministry, check. Go on mission trips, check, check. All right, God, I have done church now. Can I sit at this seat already? I have completed my checklist. I have done church well. Can I sit at this seat? I deserve this seat. Is that the way how God looks at us? And is that the way what coming to God is all about? And we know it is not. When we know that coming to God is always by His grace. Those guests in the Bible passage, they went around expecting things to be done for them. And if we behave that way, we are in trouble. Jesus says in verse 10, "But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you." And if we think that by coming to church and expecting God to serve us and fulfilling all our wishes, then we got it wrong. I have used the word wishes. I'm not using the word prayer. Because pray, you pray in faith. Wishes, you come and you say, "Give me, serve me, I want." That is wishes. When wishes, you come, "God, do this in my family, do this in my life." When you say no, your word, no need to apply your word into my life. No need to apply your word into my family. Your word can be somewhere else, that's fine. But just give me healing, give me good things, give me all my blessings. That is a wish. That is not prayer. And God is no genie. He is a God who waits for our prayer. And prayers come in with humility. I just want us to take a look at this verse here. "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." The words in red are what in English we call active verbs. It's something that you do. You exalt yourself, you humble yourself. The words in blue are those that are in passive voice. Will be humbled, will be exalted. It is put upon you. Your action, your choice, whether you want to exalt yourself or to humble yourself. And it is God's action on you, whether He humbles you or He exalts you. Know our position in this place. Paul showed us who is the most humble person and how he did it. Children and everyone as well, can we read this together? We shall read together, especially the black words I will do, but the red words I need you to do together with me. Ready, all of you? And we go. "Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name." Jesus humbles himself. That is the best example we can have of humility. When you have everything that you own and you say, "I'm putting that down because I am going to be obedient to the Father." That is humility. Indeed, we need to humble ourselves and watch God exalt us in due time. Oh, another time of quiz. Okay. This time got prizes. Shuan will help me with the prizes. Okay. And then what happens is adult will have one type of prize, children will have one type of prize. Wow. So we can actually have you all to answer differently. Shuan, you think you can manage that? One child and one father. Can I have another teacher maybe to help Shu, if possible? Yeah, Yanin will help you. Yeah. Okay, very simple. This one, the instructions are this. Again, do not shout out your answer. When you know the answer, please put up your hand. Shuan will come to you with the mic and you will say your answer. Adult will have one type of prize, children will have one type of prize, so we can have two answers each time, one adult, one child, okay? So don't say you're no chance to play, got chance to play, okay. 3, 2, 1, put up your hand and get the answer, okay? First question. Who is this?
What unit is this? Wait, I saw him.
Mr. Bernard? Where? And one child? Any children at all? Yelling can go to Bernard over there on my left. And let's see what is Bernard's answer. Children, anyone? James, Jordan, anyone can guess the answer? Nobody.
David.
Yay, David, the shepherd boy. Let's give him the prize. Yes,
okay.
The child is coming to give you the prize. You realize it is a little lamb that I've got my friend to crochet for us, and it will be... Yeah, I want the adults to get it because the children will all get it end of the year. But the adults get it first. Little must go and show off a little bit. Okay. Children, you have another chance. Okay, later. So, yes, David, the shepherd boy. Second question. Who is this?
A boy.
There we have Caleb. Audrey's Caleb. Yeah.
Who?
Audrey's Caleb. There, on my left. Yeah. On my left. Okay, yeah. Audrey's Caleb. Okay. So he will get, he's the child, he will get a child's present.
Moses.
He was like, easy the answer, Moses. Okay. Yes, Moses parting the Red Sea. There you go. Yeah. Thanks, Tim. Okay. And while he gets his present, you can have adult and child at the same time, no problem. Huh? Okay. Third and last question, last chance to get your prize. Who is this?
Is it
Joe Chung at the back, and we have got two. One adult and one child. There's Noah.
Jonah.
Okay. And then Joe. Jonah. And Joe's answer is, shout it out.
Jonah.
Yay. Okay. Shuwen will help me give out the prizes away. And as we have that, thank you very much for your participation. Over here. Noah, team. Noah? Okay, that's fine. Yes, okay. Yeah, and Uncle Zhou Chong at the end. Okay, at the side. Thank you very much for your participation, people. Yeah, today being family service, we all play together. Yay! All right, okay. Well, I come to my second point. It is not by potential. When I talk about potential, I mean the capacity that we have. Are we able to do certain things? Are we able to be developed into somebody? Do we come by potential? I don't know what strikes you when we think of David, the shepherd boy. He was only a boy. In fact, in his whole family, his father didn't think very much of him. Or talk about Moses. Moses, when he was caught, he was a fugitive. And he stutters, I cannot. He was a fugitive and a stutterer, and God chose to use him to deliver Israel. Jonah was even funnier still. When I look at Jonah's story, Jonah wasn't even agreeing with God, what God wanted him to do. God says, go and tell people to confess. He says, no, I don't like Nineveh, I'm not going. He's not even in the same thinking with God. God used him anyway. And we realize, do we define people by potential? Let me just show you some people over here. This lady is called Laurentia. She's a para rider. She has, in fact, won quite a number of medals in the Paralympics. She suffers from cerebral palsy, and she has what we call profound deafness. She can't hear. What is her sport? Her sport is to control the horse. I can't pronounce the word equestrian. Yeah, the one that rides the horse and make the horse dance, and the horse dances according to a music. And she can't hear the music. How is she going to lead the horse? What they do is she wears a vest. The vest vibrates. They play the music. She dances with the vibration, and with that, she guides her horse to medals in Paralympics. Who says when you're deaf you can't dance? This person, I took this picture because if you have seen it before, it is a very significant picture. She is Liao Zi. She is one of the victims in the Wenchuan earthquake. Yeah, right. So it was at that time when she lost both her legs. This is China Got Talent. and she was actually dancing with her prosthetics. Next one. This one is my teacher. This one is my teacher, my JC teacher. After I left JC, I visited her once, twice, not very often. After that, I became a little bit too busy. Actually, busy is just a word for saying you are not my priority. Okay, anyway. So I left her for a while, and I didn't see her very often until she had a massive stroke. But she recovered from that stroke well enough to go back to teach for a few more years. And then later, she had a few more strokes, and then she quit entirely. And during her retirement, she had the last stroke that devastated the other side of the brain. And she finally was unable to speak and unable to move and was bedbound. That was then that I visited her more often, more frequently in the nursing home. So one day I went to visit her, and she was smiling so brightly. The moment she saw me, she smiled. And the nurse was like, "Oh, who is this that came that made her smile?" Even the nurse took a glance at me and was like, "Hey, who are you that came and made her smile so brightly?" And I saw, we all noticed that she smiled brightly. It was a response to me. And I wondered in my heart, under that lifeless body, is there life? Each time when I went, it was always not conversation. It was always a monologue. I talked the talk, and she unraveled my thoughts. But that moment when I saw her smile, it surprised me so much. Is there life underneath that body? Could there be some sparks that we do not know about? And it kept me, and it started me thinking, what is the value of life? Are we saying that a person has life when the person has potential? If you have got no potential, you don't deserve to sit here. Move further down the road. You who cannot contribute, you who contribute very little, move further down the road. Is that how we value life? Is it potential that we are looking for? If Jesus was looking for potential in me, I'm dead. If Jesus was looking for potential in us, wouldn't all be dead? But that the kingdom of God is not about merits, it's not about potential, it is about the grace. And that was when I realized something is different. Jesus says, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you are repaid. And you ask yourself, when I do things, is it because I want it to be repaid? And when God chose me, is it because I'm a value to him? But no, because the next part says, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. And that's what God has called us, isn't he? I have nothing that I can repay to God except this damned life. And unless he rescued me, and unless he forgives me, I am condemned. For God loves me, and God chose me while I was still yet a sinner. I am nothing. We are nothing to God, are we? Except that we were his creation, and that he loved us. And he says, come. It's not your repayment. I choose you. And when we talk to people, and we look at people, is it their potential that you can return me something that you're of value? What is the value of life? The best hospitality is that which is given. It is not exchanged. Salvation is a gift. It is not a transaction. When God saves us, it was a gift. It was not the transaction. There was no need for us to repay anything except that we repay because we love. Verse 14 over here shows us that we will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And we recognize that when we do so to other people as well, when we consider other people not according to their potential, but we consider other people because of the grace God has given us, God promises that there will be divine commendation. Divine commendation will come at the end of time. As it is, we will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Today, even as I prepare, I mean, I preached this, I did this sharing yesterday. Today, even as I prepare, I come up to come another point that indeed, of course, we do not come to the table of God by merits nor by potential, but by humility. Because the kingdom of God is not about merits nor potential. And I'm thankful that it is by grace. I'm reminded of Joseph in the Bible when he was in prison. He was the favorite prisoner of the prison warden because God gave him favor. Favor comes from God. If we have been thinking that it is us that have everything, then let's recognize it is the grace of God that you have your opportunities that you can do well in. It is God's grace that enable you that whoever we are right now, it is by the grace of God, and therefore we come with much humility. When we feel that I have served or I have got work, I have worked very hard. And sometimes it comes to a point and say, how come we are passed over this time? How come we are being forgotten right now? Then let us come to a point and realize that our worth is not in the things that we do or our potential, but that God sees us by his grace. And I think when we recognize that, we can be much comforted in the things that we do. We continue to serve where we are, what we can, because God's graciousness is enough. I come to the end right now, last part, but still a little bit long. I bluff you a bit only, but I've got a bit long. Pride is a common sin, right? And most of us commit the sin of being proud very often. I just have a few litmus tests for us to just check on us whether we are proud. No, this I'm too fast. When you are faced with a problem, what is your immediate reaction? Do you solve or do you pray? Do you say that God, I'll do it myself? I don't need you? That is one test of your pride. When you pray, is it all about myself? Bless me, give me, I've been good. I deserve it. Lord, give me. I need it. Give it to me. Or do you say, God, be gracious and have mercy on me, a sinner? When you pray, do you seek to understand? Or do you seek? Do you seek to be understood? Or do you seek to understand? And you say, well, I deserve this seat. Come on, the rest can move away. Where do you stand? Just checking my time a little. Okay. Well, of course, I believe all of you don't say this kind of prayers. Definitely not in such words. But when we pray, what is our attitude? Allow me to just suggest a method how we could get rid of our pride. First of all, we can ask God to show us the areas of pride in our lives. Very often we may forget. We may just forget that we are proud and we don't even realize. Ask God to show it to us. And then ask God to convict us of that pride. That can be painful. And ask God to show it to us. And lastly, we need to confess that we have sinned. Because the verse in 1 Peter 5:7 says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. It has never been, God, humble me. If you look at the Bible, people don't pray, God, humble me. Because when God humbles us, it's really to put you down. But it has always been, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humbling is your choice. To say, I'm sorry, to say that I need you, is your choice. And God promises us too that when you humble yourself, he will exhort us in due time. I really come to the last part. It is a poem that I like very much. It's a poem that reminds me of those moments when I think too highly of myself and of course too lowly of other people. Allow me to read this to you. This is just a reminder of our verse today. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. If nothing at all, let this verse stay in us today. Let me read you the verse. This poem, Heaven's Surprise, by Taylor Ludwig. I was shocked, confused, bewildered, as I entered heaven's door. Not by the beauty of it all, not by the lights or its decor, but it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp. The thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, the trash. There stood the kid from the seventh grade. He had stolen my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Uncle Bob, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. What's the deal? I'd love to hear your take on how all these sinners get up here. God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue. Hush, child, said he. They are all in shock. No one thought they would see you here too. Are there times when we think that we deserve it all? Are there times that we think that other people don't deserve it as much? Then let us all be reminded, if not for God, we can't be here, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, it is wonderful to know that you are such a gracious God. If it had been anything else, Father, indeed,